How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 12, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast. This is episode 12. I'm Jared Akers.
And I'm Emily.
So, I guess, the topic today is happiness and emotions. We're gonna get into emotions today.
I'm getting emotional.
I got to catch my breath here.
I know. It's been a crazy week.
It has been. We
just came back from vacation. Been catching up all week on... Missed work and... house stuff.
Yeah, I was wanting to do a podcast episode when we were down there, but you know, we just
never seemed to work out.
We just never got around to it. We were down in Belize for...
We were fighting the mosquitoes.
5 days. And did some diving. And our great friend Duncan went with us.
Yeah. We had a blast.
We got to see Adolfo, who works down there at Ramon's Village in San Pedro, Belize, which is on Ambergris Key.
Yeah.
We dove all week and got to, actually, Adolfo speared quite a few lionfish, and then at the end of the week...
Yeah, we got to eat them.
We fried them up.
Oh, they were so good.
It was good.
And I'm not a fish person, but...
Well, they're supposedly really poisonous, but you cut the spikes off, or the, I don't know what you call them, the things that...
Stingers.
Yeah. Maybe. And then we got to dive with a bunch of sharks. That was incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, a bunch of nurse sharks. They were chumming the sharks, man. Chumming the sharks.
We were all about the photographs and
video. Yeah, I got some awesome video. Took some video and documented the trip. So
got to try out your new GoPro.
Yeah, camera. I got to edit all that. It's just it's a long process editing stuff. You got tons and tons of hours, but then you got, you know, I'll probably try to condense it down to about 3 to 4 minutes probably.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That will take a while.
So, anyway, on the topic of emotions, I'm reading this book right now, and it is, it's titled Search Inside Yourself, The Unexpected Path to Achieving Success and Happiness. And it's by a guy, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, but it's Shade Ming Tan. He is, was an engineer for Google and still works there and does this course within, it's on emotional intelligence. And I don't know, it's all kind of worked
out.
Tell
us what that means.
Well,
emotional intelligence.
Well, emotional intelligence, and I'll actually quote from the book, the father or the guy that's two of the guys that kind of created the theoretical framework around emotional intelligence define it as the ability to monitor one's own and others' feelings and emotions, to discriminate among them, and to use this information to guide one's thinking and actions.
Wow.
So, I mean, to me, it kind of just means being aware of your emotions and being calm and clear all the time and making decisions based off, I don't know, you know, not in my life, I used to always kind of like make all of my decisions based off the immediate emotion that I was feeling, you know?
Okay.
And wanting to be accepted and loved and all that stuff, you know, the decisions I made were, you know, as I heard someone say once, you know, you put in a quarter and I play B12, you know, you put in, you know, you do something to me and I react, and that's, you know, based off the emotion. A lot of times that reaction or action got me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just threw the book on the bed.
You did. Yeah. Made a lot of noise.
So, hopefully I don't need to quote from it again, but
yeah,
but I also heard someone suggest one time that it's in that, you know, once you kind of get that clarity of mind and, you know, learn that you don't need to react based off your emotions immediately. And then you pause, and it's in that pause that you become human and you kind of are able to make decisions based off, I don't know if logic is the right answer, because I still think a lot of times it's good to make decisions based off emotion, but I think that you want to make sure you're making the decision based off the proper emotion. if
yeah, figure out what the underlying emotion is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I was talking about like I've talked a lot about this thing called emotional blind spots, and which is basically I had these emotions for most of my life that they made me feel uncomfortable. So when those emotions would come up, I would basically kind of shove them away,
right?
You know, back in the rearview mirror, you know, or whatever, and not really deal with them. And on the outside, I still had this kind of this
happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. This persona that everything was okay. And I was all right. And, but it, inside, you know, I was
just kind of stuffing it.
Yeah. I was scared. So basically I would just avoid emotions that made me feel uncomfortable. And as you know, you can probably guess that was pretty much every relationship that I was in. You know, one of the questions that I used to hate the most was when someone, you know, if I was in a relationship and they'd say, "So what are you thinking?" You know, and I hated that because I really
had to make something up.
Well, I wasn't quite sure what I was thinking, or what I was thinking, I was afraid to tell you because it was, "Get out of my face and leave me alone. You're bugging me," or
"I shouldn't laugh.
I don't love you," or "I don't know what I want." And so yeah. I would just say, "I'm thinking how grateful I am and how lovely you are and how great my life is." And that wasn't the truth. But I also, you know, a big part of me was thinking, well, maybe I don't really know what I need, you know, and so maybe this is what I need. So maybe I should stick with it. And, but I didn't know myself well enough. So
how'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, it didn't really. So, but I've always been an emotional person, like meaning
sensitive.
Yeah. Like I took everything personally. My mom always tells this story. I love animals, you know, and I was always, you know, I would cry when Old Yeller died and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I guess this story would be traumatic for any child, but we had this garage growing up on the farm and it ran the length of the end of the house. So it had garage doors on both ends. And I would ride my bike around the driveway and then through the garage. And we had like, at one point we had like 30 cats on our farm. Okay, maybe I'm embellishing. Maybe it was more like 20, but it was a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, farm cats running everywhere. And I'm cruising through the garage and I all of a sudden I can't pedal anymore and I can't figure out why. Yeah. And I look down and there's a cat stuck in between the sprocket and the chain. And it was, it was, you know, not going to survive.
But oh my
goodness. It was a pretty traumatic experience for me. And I mean, I guess that I don't know why that story reminds me, but I had this.
Wow.
I was.
How horrible.
Yeah. And
how old were you?
I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 maybe.
Word.
And, you know, I would always, and even now today, like when we watch TV shows and stuff like that, and I think you're kind of like this a little bit, you know, I feel the emotion of the person on the TV and I want to like change the channel or something.
If it gets uncomfortable, is that my chair making all that noise?
Yeah, but I don't think you can really hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You were saying if it gets real uncomfortable sometimes?
Yeah, I don't. I pretty much choose programs to watch where I'm not going to feel that angst or that, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that always gets me, and one of the worst scenes in movies is when someone is in someone else's house and they're looking for stuff and you know that someone's going to come in and catch them at any time. And I don't know if that's like a subconscious thing that I, for me or something, but that's one of the, I don't know why those scenes always get to me. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to find them. And, you know, or
I think that's what they want.
I always want the good guy to win and, you know, and hope that they do. And, but I think,
need to quit watching reality TV because it doesn't seem like anyone ever wins. Real life is life.
After the final rose.
Yeah.
You know,
any
of them are still together.
I'm not really sure I'm going to watch that anymore.
You don't think?
I don't know. We'll see.
I think.
I think it's gotten kind of. I think it's maybe overdone or.
Yeah.
Time for something different.
We're talking about what? The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So I.
Jury's out.
One of the things about emotional intelligence is for me, in the way that I understand it, and I'm still in the process of it, kind of learning the technology behind it and all that kind of stuff is to, you know, have a, Well, in the book, they're talking about, can you imagine that when you first meet someone, that your sincere and intense desire is that this person, you want this person to be happy. And could you imagine that when you meet someone, always for the first time, that your intrinsic, true, and sincere desire is that this person is happy?
I'm sorry.
Yeah?
I'm being bad. I'm actually doing something that I know is probably going to upset you.
Why?
I'm not sure how to feel about that.
You're texting on the phone?
Yeah.
You want texting. Me to read it?
Yeah. Today is our daughter-in-law's birthday, and my son called a little bit ago to say that it was too late here. It was, 5 o'clock, 5 in the evening, and it was too late to go out. And I've been texting my daughter-in-law and telling her it's her day. She can do what she wants.
Yeah.
So she says, okay, let's go out.
It is her day.
I know.
So now we're going
to
go out?
Yeah. First we were going to go to dinner, then we weren't going to go to dinner, and now we're back on, I think. So.
So.
I'm a little excited now.
How do you feel about that emotionally?
I'm a lot more excited. I'm emotionally very happy about that.
Are you?
Yeah, because I just spent the better part of 2 hours shopping for her, so I'm kind of excited to celebrate with her.
And you got her candles.
I did buy her. She loves
Yankee
candles.
Because they won't hear this till after.
Right. She loves Yankee candles, so I have to always get her one of those.
Well, we stopped using candles because supposedly, like when we replaced our rug in our house.
Carpet.
Our carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that? Yeah, I guess a rug is a short piece that's trimmed or...
Yeah,
or bound on the sides.
Wall-to-wall carpeting.
Yeah. So all around the edge of every room in the house was like a little dark
ring.
Stain.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, well, what is this? Because we couldn't get it cleaned up no matter what we tried. And the guy that replaced the carpet said, well, that's from a lot of candles. Because basically, you're between the carpet and your baseboard acts like a filter. So when you have a lot of candles and stuff, all the air is going down the wall and it's filtering through the baseboard and the floor there. And so basically your carpet is catching all the impurities in the air and it's making a stain. Yeah. And I thought, well,
there you go. So we have to quit using candles, which we love.
Yeah. But now we got those little those little electric ones.
Yeah.
That are kind of cool. It looks like it's flickering. It's flickering.
Yeah.
So.
And less dangerous. Not on fire.
Yeah. So there's a difference between being emotional.
Yeah.
And emotionally connected. Because I think we've all known emotional people where everything is so
dramatic.
You know, yeah.
Right.
You know, they're drama queens and, you know, there's always something going on in their life. And they're.
It's kind of like the classic victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we all know somebody like that, or maybe we are like that. You know, I've certainly.
Or used to be like that.
Yeah. And at some point, it just gets old. You know, it's. You know, they just start to drain you.
Yeah.
And, but I think that one of the things that I learned from, I think it was Tuesdays with Maury, where he was talking about dealing with death and stuff like that, and that you really need to feel your emotions completely and totally so that you can, to let them take you completely where they're going to go so that you know that you can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, likewise, know that you can detach from it in a healthy manner.
Right.
And that was something that, you know, I think I learned when my father passed away was, you know, I never went through anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't quite sure how I was supposed to feel or what emotions I was feeling. I knew that it was, you know, kind of a, I don't know, something different.
Yeah.
But I'd seen other people go through it. So I knew that I could go through it.
For me, losing people, the grieving process is, it's kind of forever in a way. You know, it's not like you have a time frame that you're going to grieve and then it's over.
Yeah.
I think that you occasionally revisit some of those, you know, parts of grief that, I don't know. The emotion that's attached to it is less, but the thought process is still there forever. I mean, you're always going to miss them.
Yeah.
So, but the... I understand what you're saying. You have to feel those emotions and get through the... I got a lot louder.
Yeah? Well, I turned up your thingy. Yeah?
Thank you.
It is, yeah, right on.
Good.
Did you feel it? Yeah?
It is. Yeah, it's really good.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, like, for me, one of the biggest benefits of... And I got in touch with my emotions when I was working through the process and... you know, working with a therapist and all that stuff and reading all this stuff, I had a list of emotions. Like, it was this piece of paper, and I haven't been able to find it since. I've been looking all over for it. But basically, it lists all these possible emotions that you could feel. So there's like anger, and then below that is all these different emotions. And so when you're feeling anxious or restless or irritable or discontent or something, you can look down this list of emotions and identify, okay, that's what I'm feeling. That's why I'm feeling it. You know, whether I'm fearful that I'm going to lose something, or I'm fear, you know, but it always comes down to fear that I'm not going to be loved, you know. And, but once I learn to distinguish those emotions and be in touch with them, it makes you a better communicator. Because like when someone is sharing with me or something, I can, I don't know, I was discussing this with a friend over lunch the other day, and it's like this unspoken language. It's like, it's more like an energy. Like when someone is sharing a story or you're talking to them, and when you are in touch with your own emotions, you can feel that energy from them and communicate in a more authentic way.
Well, you can respond with empathy rather than sympathy.
Yeah.
Sympathy requires you to be involved in the emotion. Empathy is a way of understanding it and appreciating it without diving into their pain. They call it empathy.
Okay. Well, I know what empathy...
Sympathy is like not... It means that you're going to get involved.
Like pity? Sympathy?
Yeah. Well, pity is just kind of a synonym thereof, but it's... I don't know. I see pity as kind of a condescending...
Yeah.
Yeah. Where sympathy is when you dig into their chili pot with them. But when you're feeling empathy, you're chili. Understanding from the outside. Like, I know how you feel, but you don't have to be feeling it.
Right.
I think sympathy is when you're feeling it with them and therefore codependent and not real effective
in
being a friend.
Well, and when you can, you know, when you're communicating from that point of being connected with your own emotions, I think that everything works better, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, in this book is talking about, you know, can you imagine even in your workplace or in your business or in your private life, when you approach someone for the very first time, you know, when you're, if your sincere desire is, I want to make this person happy, people pick up on that, you know, whether it's in business or life or whatever, people pick up on the idea that you're sincere and genuine and that you really want to help them.
Yeah.
And so everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I can cry at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, me too.
I think
that just goes back to being sensitive. And I think that's cool.
So what's the difference between being sensitive and being emotional?
I don't know.
Are you sensitive?
What do you think? Yeah, I'm sensitive.
I'm sensitive to like...
Depends on what time of day and how hard I've worked.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I know I'm very sensitive.
I get tired. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else. I'm not going to feel anything but that. But the rest of the time, yeah, I would say I'm emotional or, yeah.
Do you think there's any correlation to being emotionally sensitive and physically sensitive?
Because
like, why am I so jumpy? I'm not as bad as I used to be.
I don't know.
But like when we're falling asleep and you have like your hand like underneath my arm or something.
Yeah. You are jumpy.
I'm just like waiting for you to like do that. Yeah. I'm falling asleep twitch.
Probably because you are anticipating that.
Yeah. And then I'm a half a mile jumpy. In the air because. Yeah.
But I will say that I've learned through the years not to be very close to you when I.
Twitch?
Yeah. No, when you're asleep and I'm going to wake you up,
yeah.
I need to be a room's length away from you. And when I'm sleeping, I need to have a pillow between us because you are jumpy.
Yeah, I used to suggest that you wear a helmet because if we were spooning or something, you're behind me, my head comes flying back.
And it's not like a tap. It's like a, it's like, oh, I think I have a cracked skull.
It's like, get off of me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that's from.
I don't know.
I don't think I'm as bad as I used to be, but my friends used to always get a kick out of that because they were constantly
maybe that has something to do with
jumping out from around corners and scaring me, and I just
I don't know.
I'm jumpy.
Yeah, you are jumpy.
Maybe that's because I'm so in tune and aware with my surroundings.
I'm sure that's it.
That I'm so enlightened.
That's gotta be it.
That
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your answer.
That's that ain't no answer.
Works for me.
A man for a husband. That ain't no answer. I want a baby high. What they need is dip tat. Avoidance being emotionally, well, yeah. So I use the term, there was a gentleman that kind of turned me on to this, when I was talking about self-love a lot, and he referred to it as emotional connectedness, which basically just means I'm in tune with my emotions and that, you know, like when I look back or think back about the period in my life when I was very self-destructive and just not living very healthy, I really have empathy for that person mm-hmm. now. Like when I'm reading my book yeah. and part of it and stuff yeah. like that, I'm like, it still tears me up because I yeah. feel so much empathy for that guy, empathy
yeah.
for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I wouldn't treat myself like that today.
Right. You're past that and can look back and yeah.
But I still need help. And I still think that there's some, maybe, you know, certain times when we have a chemical imbalance or something like that, where, you know, medication might be, you know, needed or something like that. Cause you know, I had some anxiety when we were in Belize,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple times and I don't know where that came from. And it's, I had it on the plane and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like just my body saying, you have to get out of here now.
Yeah. We kind of agreed but you wanted to go talk with someone.
Yeah. I think I'll
kind of get
see if
some
there's
clarity yeah. on that.
I think a lot of it had to do with the diving that we were going to do because I hadn't dove yet. And the last few times I'd kind of had some issues diving and I'd gotten through that with this meditation, this MP3.
So how was it when you first were diving? I had
a couple times where my
problems?
Mind tried to, you know, fool with me. And for me, it's like, I get this metal taste in my mouth and it's like,
really?
Yeah, it's like a physical thing. And my brain is saying, you know, this wow. isn't, you know, get out of here, you know, go. You know, like when
fight
I was on the plane,
flight, huh?
yeah, I mean, I didn't, it wasn't like get up running around naked on the plane screaming kind of thing, but
darn it.
It felt like it could have got to
that could have been fun,
but I knew you were right there and I knew that if I needed to. So what I did was I meditated and yeah. then when I was on a plane, I got out and I watched Talladega Nights on my,
well, that's the cure for anything.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Laughter is generally the
laughing.
Cure for
yeah.
pretty much. Yeah. I remember funny story or not funny story, but. When my older brother got sick and we knew that he would only had like 6 months and, you know, all of us tried to spend time with him. And I got the opportunity to spend the evening with him one night when you couldn't go and
yeah.
Took him to a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
Louis C.K.
You know, here it could have been like we could have been sitting around talking about this cancer that he had and feeling like crap, or we could sit around and laugh. We laughed so hard. It was the funniest man I've ever heard in my entire life. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
And it was just so freeing to laugh. It was like when you're laughing, nothing else matters. You know,
yeah.
you're not thinking about all that stuff, you know, and I think we both just totally enjoyed each other and enjoyed the moments. And I think that's the best medicine. You know, people say it all the time, laughter is best medicine, but it really is.
Well, it is. And I think one of the key components
you
of that
truly feel better.
Is being able to laugh at yourself as well,
mm-hmm.
and not take yourself so seriously.
Absolutely. Something my mother used to tell me.
What?
Frequently. Oh, you're so serious.
I can get that way.
Yeah. I think I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a bit of a drama queen when I was a kid, I think.
Well, when you're laughing, you're like, it's really, you're completely in the moment because you're not
right.
thinking about all the
yeah.
crap in the past and you're just totally,
yeah,
you know.
And then laughter can be infectious, you know, when
present.
Someone else is laughing and you don't know why they're laughing, but it's just funny that they're laughing. And then you're laughing. You don't really know why you're laughing, but you're just laughing. And
yeah,
it's awesome.
Well, and dealing with all the, you know, going through, I think.
Happiness, I think, is infectious, don't you?
Oh, I totally think so.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a fine line between, you know, like they say, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big believer in, you know, you can't think your way into good living. You have to live your way into good thinking,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a paradox sometimes in the self-help,
mm-hmm.
you know, area because, you know, the power of positive thinking and all that stuff. But, you know, I sit around for years thinking positive,
right,
but it never really affected my life because I didn't.
And you point this out in your book, it's the power of positive doing.
Ah, I do?
Yeah. I mean, acts of service.
Yeah. Getting out and taking action on that because right. then I'm interacting with the universe.
You can think positive, but what good is that unless you put it into action?
Well, and in being in touch, you know, with who I am and, you know, my authentic self and loving who I am, accepting who I am,
mm-hmm.
and which also means accepting the consequences of being myself and laughing at myself and all those things means that I need less externally, as mm-hmm. I always go back to. So, you know, in this emotional intelligence thing, so I'm not trying to manipulate others for my own gain or for ego
mm-hmm.
because I'm content with who I am and I don't need that externally. Yeah. So, you know, like in business, it's like, it doesn't matter whose idea is used as long as
it's the right one.
It's the right one, you know, and there's no,
right. There's no brownie points for them picking you.
Yeah, there's not, you know, it's, and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice cool.
Yeah. So, but I can cry at movies. And, but I still get sometimes where this overwhelmed kind of with this emotion.
You know, what is that? You know, like, I don't know about you, but when I'm watching a movie and it evokes the tears,
yeah,
I try my hardest not to let that tear fall.
Well,
it's like I'm trying to avoid that because I don't know. And it's just me. I'm in my own house.
Right.
I can do what I want.
I'm sitting next to you.
It's like I practice how long I can keep that tear in my eyelid.
Really?
Yeah. And then I'm totally thinking about the tear.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And then there's that pain that goes through your gut.
Or the throat. My throat
gets tight.
A lump. Well, you know, as a guy, and I'm sure maybe a lot of you will relate to this, what I do is I feel that lump coming up
mm-hmm.
and I feel maybe a tear coming to my eye, but I want to not hold it back, but I want to make sure that you notice that I'm a little choked up.
You do?
Yeah, because then you'll think I'm sensitive.
Ah. Interesting.
So look at me.
Maybe from the female perspective.
At least
you know,
that's me.
You know? It's you don't want to be called a crybaby. You know, like it's like it's weak or something.
Oh, I'll cry.
Yeah. But it I don't know. And maybe it's because we wear makeup and don't want to mess it up. Perhaps that's it.
But I love it when people get that way when they're talking and they start to get that.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're.
Inevitably, if someone else is crying, it makes me cry.
That they're off the shake and it's something that's.
Yeah.
You know.
Immediately.
And I think that.
It is a powerful thing when someone is brought to tears. That's kind of cool, really.
Just yeah.
Not that it's every other. It can't be every other statement.
Well. No, there was a...
It is. It's like someone is willing to be vulnerable in front of you. And that's quite an honor.
Yeah, really. It is.
So it's very powerful. So from now on, not choking it back.
You're not?
I'm going to let them fall.
Let the waterworks go?
Yep. I'll tell you the saddest movie that I ever saw was Snoopy Come Home.
Tell me. Oh, my. Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that movie at all. I don't even know if I've seen it. I think the saddest movie that I've ever seen. Oh my gosh, this gets me.
Uh-oh.
And it was before even this whole ordeal with my father. It was A Field of Dreams.
Mm.
When he's playing catch with his father.
Mm.
And his dad says, "Is this heaven?" And Kevin Costner looks back at his wife. Or no, I think he says, "No, this is Iowa." But then he looks over at the front porch and his wife and his kid are sitting there in a porch swing. And I don't know if he says this or what, but the concept is maybe this is heaven.
Mm.
You know, and it was like,
maybe
this is heaven.
Have you ever seen
his family?
You saw Life as a House, right?
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Oh, that's a tearjerker.
That's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
Isn't that where...
I would think that a good exercise, if you have trouble feeling emotions, is to give yourself an assignment and pick movies that are going to evoke that emotion.
Yeah.
Until you can get in touch with it, you know? Like, if you're having trouble feeling sad, just get all the tearjerker movies. and watch them.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and I think the biggest
until you can
outcome of
feel the same thing that they're feeling.
Yeah. Well, the biggest benefit of the whole emotional intelligence thing is to know your emotions, know what they are, be familiar with them, mm-hmm. and know that this too shall pass.
Right. Oh, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
that,
awesome.
And that you don't need to make a rash decision or something based on that emotion, that it's a lot of times probably it's your ego talking in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, and this thing also, emotional intelligence is awareness and mindfulness. And what that means is some people call it cultivating the witness, or is basically your emotions and all these things going on in your head are like a conversation, and you can have the ability, mindfulness is have the ability to step outside that and be a third party and just watch it,
mm-hmm.
and know that you don't have to be a part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can step outside and say, wow, look, you know, I got angry because I felt I was being threatened because my idea wasn't used, mm-hmm. or they don't think I'm good enough. And then my other emotion, you know, this committee going on my head, the other reaction is, yeah, but that doesn't really mean anything, does it? You know, maybe this guy's idea is better, but I can kind of step outside and
right.
watch that conversation, watch that conversation going on. And then, and then realize that, you know what, I'm going to be okay regardless of how whoever.
Just in search of the positive outcome,
yeah.
I think.
However this turns out, I'm going to be okay. So,
sure. Yeah.
You know, I'm not my emotions.
It's not about, and for me, it's helpful when I'm feeling hurt is to step back and say, oh, whoa, it's not all about me.
Yeah.
Because once I say that, then it isn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm accepting that. So if you're getting all upset about stuff, just.
Yeah. Like Duncan suggested when I started a new job several years ago, that he suggested that each morning I go around in the office and introduce myself to 3 new people each day. And I'm like, dude, that's not me. I'm shy. Don't mm-hmm. you know? And he's mm-hmm. like, Jared, it's not about you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that shyness is also a mm-hmm. form of self-centeredness,
mm-hmm.
you know, not in a mean way, but I'm making it all about me when I'm saying I'm shy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
well, you're holding yourself back. You're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make any real connections and have any
right.
experiences that are going to better my life if I'm
yeah.
alone.
Cool.
But
well, now you're very outgoing. I see you.
Yeah,
I see you as more outgoing.
I go through stages where I'm a little introverted, and then you know, but mm-hmm. I'm good at recognizing that, and then
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, you know, I'm, you know, I need to get outside myself a little bit. Maybe I can.
Well, I'm glad you did when I met you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
Me too. Me three.
All right. Well, so that was episode 12. Oh, and I'm so excited because if you can believe this, imagine this. We're over 11,300, as I last time I checked.
Is that right?
Downloads, yeah. So
holy cow.
Of our podcast. So we're averaging over 1,000 downloads per podcast.
Okay. So for you repeat listeners, we want topics. So please, 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 please call in to
775-234-8373. Or you can also call or go to my website, and my music just shut off because my laptop bombed out. I knew that was going to happen. I didn't plug it in this time because I've been trying to get the sound because there's been a hum and I've been having to do that post edit, you know, take the hum out. So I'm trying to get a different chord set up here, and that just bummed me out. So no music to end this episode.
How are you feeling about that?
Emotionally, I'm okay with it.
It was a little rough there for a minute.
It was. I was freaking out.
I think you got some emotional intelligence going there.
So it is.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
It is what it is.
And we really do want topics, so please call in.
Yeah.
And you can address those questions to Emily if you want.
Yeah, and even easier yet, you can go to my website at jaredacres.com. And on the right-hand side, there is says podcast, ask question, and you can leave a message right from your computer.
All right.
How easy is that? And leave us a topic, and we'll talk about it. So anyway, remember to, gosh, it's weird without the music.
I know.
Be honest, be loved.
And be happy. Thanks for listening.
Bye.